According to Psalm 139:14, all of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. Remember a few years back, Brother Ron did an entire Sunday school series on that phrase, really that psalm, and how we are truly wonderful creations made by God. You know, that includes our brains. That includes our minds. Did you know that your brain, that in your brain, there are 86 billion neurons, billion with a B, 400 miles of capillaries, 100,000 miles of axons, which I am told is enough to circle the earth four times, more than 10 trillion synapses. And even though I don't know what any of those things are or any of those things mean, they do demonstrate, at least they did to me, just how complex and elaborate and wonderful the organ of your brain is. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. In your brain is stored somewhere and somehow, again, against my own understanding, your memories, your memory banks. Memories of yesterday, memories of today. Memories that are long-term, and of course, memories that are short-term. Memories that are good, and I hope that this week you were storing up some of those good memories with your family and friends and enjoying Thanksgiving together, but unfortunately, sometimes those memories are bad. Just how good is your memory? How good is it? Unfortunately, it is a pretty common thing for us to forget more and more things the older we get, and even those things that you want to remember. Unfortunately, sometimes those things you don't want to, those are the things that come back to mind more frequently. And that's why it is helpful to be reminded about the good things, and really the things that matter most in our lives. And you may do this in any number of ways. You may make a list for the things that you need to get at the store so you don't forget. And sometimes you have a list on your refrigerator, a list on your counter, or a list over here, a list over there, and you need a list for your lists. At least you're trying, right? Trying to remember. You may set an alarm for when you need to take your medicine so you don't forget. You may even ask someone to call you the day that you have something important to do, like a doctor's appointment, so you don't forget. But what is true about the important things in our natural lives is also true about the important things in your spiritual life. It is so easy for us to forget what we need to know, even what we need to believe, and so often what we need to do, even in our walk with God. And that's why God Himself has set out to remind us of these things. Over the course of this Bible, we find that word, remember, remember, remember. Why? Because God wants us to remember some things. And so through the month of December, we're going to have a series of messages about what God wants you to remember, because it's so easy for us to forget sometimes. And so the focus of our message this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. So please turn there with me in your Bibles if you're not there already. The book of Ecclesiastes, if you're having trouble finding it, it's after Psalms, after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, there it is. Ecclesiastes. Where in the first two verses of this particular book, we're introduced to the main teacher and to the main topic. Picking up there in chapter 1, verse 1, says, "The words of the preacher, the words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Now the main teacher of this book, many believe to be Solomon, that king of Israel, who is the son of David, who was given great wisdom from the Lord in response to a dream that he had. And so the wisdom that is contained in this book is worth learning, it's worth understanding, it's worth even applying to our own lives. Especially since the main topic of this book is this, that a life without God is empty and meaningless. Life without God is empty and meaningless. Life without God, he describes, is like chasing the wind or even trying to grab smoke with your hands. It's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible. It's something you can never achieve. And once you think you've caught it, It vanishes just as quickly as it appears. Again, in the words of this teacher, this preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, it is in the context of this truth that this teacher, in the very last chapter, we're going to bypass most of what he describes here, in the very last chapter, chapter 12, he describes then what you should pursue after in your life when you realize just how empty it can be. What should you pursue? Well, toward the end of this chapter, the teacher makes this conclusion. Look at verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. After through all the arguments that he goes through, all the illustrations showing the emptiness and the futility of a life without God, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep His commandments. So to set the stage for this conclusion, the very first verse of this chapter, chapter 12, verse 1, we're also given a very important reminder to help us do that. To help us live the kind of life that is worth living. In verse 1, we read these words. Remember. Again, we're prone to forget these things, right? So here's God telling us to remember something. Remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And of course, he illustrates that later on in the next few verses. But with this verse, the preacher, the teacher here, under the inspiration of God, is telling you this morning to remember now thy Creator. Perhaps this is just the reminder that you need today. Maybe that's why God wants you here today. In the hustle and bustle of our otherwise empty lives. Anybody else here go do some shopping on Black Friday? I did a little bit, just to see if there were some good deals. And it really wasn't that. I didn't get up like 4 o'clock in the morning or anything. I went up out like 10, okay? All the crowds that were crazy were gone by that time. But I went out just to see what they had. Went to a bunch of stores. But the truth is, if that's all your life is going from one store to another, from one product to another, guess what? It's a rather empty, meaningless life, isn't it? Because a lot of things you buy are just replacement things for things you had already bought. Because they continue to deteriorate, eventually die. It's empty. And so one of the primary things we need to remember in this relatively empty life, apart from God, remember now thy Creator. Remember your Creator. The first thing I want you to see here is just who you are to remember. Who, according to this verse, are you to remember? Very simply, thy Creator. This verse makes an assumption that since there is a creation out there, with all kinds of creatures out there, including you and me, there is a Creator. If there's a creation, there is a Creator. Someone who designed and made everything, including you, and He did so in a fearful and wonderful way. He made you. Now, unfortunately, this is a truth that we can't take for granted anymore that everyone knows or believes, because they don't. They're called atheists. They do not believe that there is a God. The Bible has a term for them as well. But they do not believe this because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And even the godless culture in which we find ourselves as Christians has infiltrated and infected our own minds to the extent that we too need to be continuously reminded about the very presence of a Creator. Even those who believe in God, and even those who believe in Christ, still need to recognize and remember that there is, in fact, a Creator of this world. There really is a God who created all things, cares for all those things, and is even in control of all those things. That's what Creator implies. You see, we must never forget the profound truth of the very first and perhaps the most scorned verse in all of the Bible, and that is Genesis 1:1. You can probably quote it from memory. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And yet how many people look at that with scorn. You believe there's a God? You believe that there's a creator? You believe that everything that you see that you can't even fathom out there in outer space was designed by one person, by one being? You actually believe that? The truth is, we should. Why? Because God said it. It's in the Bible. Now, I've heard it said that the primary principles of the entire universe find their beginning in this one verse. In the beginning, we see the beginning of time, right? God is above time, beyond time. He created time. God created the heaven. We find space. The vast outreaches of outer space that we have yet to be able to see, even with the most powerful of telescopes. Yet here it says God created the heavens. And then we have matter. He also created the earth, all of the physical, tangible elements. So time and space and matter, all of these from our perspective seems infinite and endless. When you look at the sky, you think there's no end. When you think at time, you think that there's no limit. When you even think about matter, even scientists are getting down further and further into matter, and they see the atom, they see the protons, the neutrons, they see all of the other things that are even in those empty spaces of an atom. And it boggles our mind. And yet God made it all. And they all had a beginning and a creator. Remember now thy creator, the preacher says. Because before anything else ever was, God was and has always been. So remember today the presence of the Creator. Remember that He exists. That remember there is a God. And as the bumper sticker might say, and you're not it. You're not Him, right? He is alone. And He's always existed. But we also need to remember the power of this Creator. The power of this Creator. The almighty power of God is clearly displayed through His creation. You don't need to turn there, but listen to Hebrews 11:3. It tells us that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed how? By the Word of God. By the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, everything was made from nothing. Now, we can't comprehend that. The only way that I can create something, or I can make something, or I can construct something, is with materials that are already here. But not God. He can create everything from nothing. And He can also do so through the sound of His own voice, through the voice of His own omnipotence. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, when God created one of the most fundamental yet mysterious elements of the universe, scientists are still studying light and what it is and what makes it light. How did God create light? God said with His own voice, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's how powerful this Creator is. That's how powerful this God truly is. That's power. Now, when I speak, I can't even get my dog to listen. But when God speaks, He can get things that do not even exist to listen and to come about. That's power. That's power. Remember now thy Creator, the preacher says. And you need to remember the power of this Creator. That God was and is and ever will be omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful. Over this world and over your own life. But you also need to remember the perfection of this Creator. The perfections of this Creator. In the book of Psalms, David spent much time thinking about and writing about God's creation because it brought him to a closer understanding of God Himself. You know, this is the way scientists used to work. They used to look at the Bible, and they used to understand things about God's creation from the Creator Himself. And that caused them to want to learn more about the creation. And now people are looking at creation and they are trying to do an end run around the Creator. And they're not going to learn anything more than what God wants them to learn about His creation. They need to realize that their minds and the limits of science are finite. And yet God still is absolutely infinite. But the more you look at this creation in terms of a creator, the more you learn about God. When's the last time you went outside and looked up the starry sky? Just absolutely beautiful and stunning, the Milky Way. I hope that you said in your heart, maybe even saying, how great thou art. How great thou art. Why? Because the creation reveals the creator. The creation tells us something about the creator. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, David wrote this after contemplating the heavens. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day it utters speech, and night unto night it shows knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. The glory of God is displayed clearly in his creation. Now, what is the glory of God? We've looked at this in time past. The glory of God is the nature of God on full display. It's the nature of God, his attributes, who he is, what makes God God, and it's something that you can see. It's something that is visible. And David tells us that we can see some of God's own nature reflected in his creation. It's called general revelation. He reveals bits and pieces of himself to this creation based on what he made. And in Romans 1:20, the Apostle Paul tells us something similar. He says, for the invisible things of him, referring to God, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Even Paul understood that creation tells us something about the Creator, if we would only look for it, if only we would listen to it. In fact, it is something that is seen and heard worldwide, so that there is not a single person on this planet that can give an excuse. Well, I didn't know there was a God. Why? Because these invisible things about God are clearly seen, clearly revealed. The creation tells us something about the Creator. The creation tells us about a Creator that is great, doesn't it? A Creator that is truly and infinitely great. In Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, King David also wrote, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? Who are we? That thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. You know, the greatness of God's creation filled him with such awe in the greatness of God that he wondered, why would God even deal with beings like us, who are sinners and have fallen and have forsaken him and have tried to take that glory away from him and put it on other things. So why, God? You are so great. Why would you condescend to us? Why would you think about us? Because God is so great. But here's why. Because the creation also tells us about a creator that is good. Oh, he's great, but he's also good. Truly and infinitely good. In Matthew 5:45, Jesus reminds us that God makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So we see even in God's creation that there is a general grace and a general goodness that flows from God to all people. God is good and God is great. All of these perfections and even more reveal to us the glory of this Creator. And that is why the preacher says today, remember now thy Creator. Remember that he is a perfect Creator. Remember all his perfections and stand in awe like David did. Not just in the glory of the heavens, because that's not why God made him that way. Stand in awe at the heavenly one. The one who actually dwells beyond the heavens. Even Paul recognized that there wasn't just one heaven, the sky that we see and the air that we breathe, not just a second heaven, the limits of outer space in this universe, but there was also a third heaven. And that is where God dwells. That is the heaven of heavens. And so when we see what God has made, we recognize that there's even more than this universe. There is heaven itself. And what a beautiful and glorious place that must be, filled with glory and light and the goodness of God. That is why we see the perfections of God in His creation. But then, you also need to remember the purpose of this Creator. The purpose of the Creator. That is why He created all things, including you, to begin with. He didn't have to. In fact, He, God, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were perfectly content and happy in eternity past. They glorified each other. They praised each other. They loved each other. They didn't need to create this world. They certainly didn't need to create you or me. They're doing well without us. But I think David wondered this when he asked back in Psalm 8:4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" We look at creation, we see how great and good it is, and we look at man and we realize we're not that great, we're certainly not that good. Why, Lord? Why would you create this world for us? Why would you create us knowing that we would sin and fall away from you? Truth is, you don't have to wonder about your purpose in life. And there's a lot of young people that wonder what they're going to do with their life, but there really is a primary thrust and a primary purpose for the life of every true child of God. And we find that in Revelation 4:11. We are expressly told what the purpose of your creation is. And really the purpose of all creation. Revelation 4:11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord." These are the words of the 24 elders in heaven. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "For Thou hast created all things." They were remembering their Creator. "Thou hast created all things." Why? "And for Thy pleasure." For Thy pleasure, they are and were created. You know that everything was created according to God's own will and for God's own pleasure. It was for His delight that He created this world. It was completely for His desire to create you. And that should put your own creation in its proper perspective. You were not created just to live your life on your own, to do whatever you please. No. You were created to please God. You were created for the purpose of God's pleasure and God's glory. And if you strive to live that way, and you recognize this, and you remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth, you know what? That purpose is something that will last forever. It's a lot different than the reason that is given by the world today for life and existence. You see, if you come about by random chance and natural processes, which is what the evolutionary principles are, then any purpose that you have in life will only be temporary. You might make life good for yourself. You may try to make life good for your family. You may try to make life good for others who are struggling. And that is all good and well. But if you do not recognize that God has a purpose for your life, the purpose that you're living your life for today is only temporary. Because lives will break down. Death comes to all men. And no matter how good you made someone's life, it will come to an end. But when you think about the purpose of God, it gives you a greater purpose in your life. It's something that's not going to just be temporary. It's going to be timeless. And that's why you need to remember now thy Creator and remember the very purpose of the Creator. You were personally and particularly created by God to reflect and to reveal Him. And if every one of God's people recognized that principle and recognized that purpose, what a revolution would take place in our church, in our families, in our communities as well. Because His purpose can be and ought to be your very purpose for living. So remember the purpose of the Creator. But even more, remember the very personality of this Creator. Remember the personality of this Creator. The Creator is not some impersonal being who created everything and then just let everything go on without Him. That's the way most other creators are, or makers of things. You know, if something happens to my car, our Hyundai, and I take it to the dealership, they're not going to take as much interest in that car as I am taking in that car. Why? Because they sold it to me. And even though they have their logo emblazoned on that car, it doesn't matter to them as much as the ones that they're trying to sell off the lot. But not so with God. What He has created, He cares for. And what He cares for, He will continue to develop, especially when it comes to His people. So God is a personal creator who takes great personal interest in His creation. And that is even why the Bible was written. That's why we have the Bibles in our laps today. Because it reveals over and over again times in history when God stepped into His creation to personally reveal His will to His people. Again, He didn't just say, okay, let's see what this world can do without me. Or let's see what you can do without me. No, He says, I'm going to step in and reveal my will. In our men's Bible study, I appreciated one of the focus questions that Brother Art has given us. As we're going through some of these Old Testament narrative passages, we're going through 1 Samuel. The question is, where is God in this? If you've been going through your Take 20 Bible reading program this year, really any Bible reading program, that's the best question to ask. Where is God in this? Because guess what? You'll find Him. You'll find Him. He's there. This book is not just a history book, even though it gives us history. It's not just a science book, even though it does give us science. It's a theology book that tells us about God and how He has stepped into His creation in order to move this creation back to Himself. Think about how it all started in Genesis 3:8 when Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So even there in the Garden of Eden, where was God? He was there. His voice was there. But even after we messed things up because of our sin, God still stepped in. He didn't just let things go. He stepped in to reveal Himself and to reveal His plan to Abraham and others. In Genesis 15:1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The Bible teaches that Abram was a pagan. He was an idol worshiper. And yet God, in His grace, stepped into his life and said, Abram, I'm going to call you to be mine. He wasn't walking with God at that time. He was worshiping idols along with the rest of his family. And God said, I'm going to choose you. And Abraham obeyed. Abraham followed. Where was God? God was there. God was there in Egypt. As His people were suffering as slaves, we sang about that earlier from the psalm. God was there in the wilderness as His people were making their way to the promised land. And God was even there in the promised land when His people went through that vicious cycle of rejecting Him and then returning to Him. God was there through it all because He was and is a personal creator. In Isaiah 43:1, we hear these words. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You know, if you are a Christian today, those words don't just apply to those Old Testament people known as Israel. It applies to you and to me as the true Israel of God, the true princes and princesses of God. But didn't God also take another step further? When He didn't just step into this world as creator, He even stepped into this world as a creature. As a creature. In order to redeem His creation and make a new creation. That's why John wrote in his gospel, turn back with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we'll look at a few verses there. But in John chapter 1, the Apostle John writes with some familiar sounding words, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Of course, these verses describe none other than the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. And it is here where we learn that Jesus is the Word that spoke all things into existence in the beginning. So when God said, let there be light, it was Jesus who spoke those words. It was Jesus who said, let there be light. And there was light. But if you go down to verse 14, Jesus is also the Word that was then made flesh. There is the Creator becoming the creation. He became a man. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, he says. So God stepped into this world as a man, so that as a perfect man, he could once suffer for your sins, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring you to God, being put to death in the flesh on the cross, but then quickened, brought back to life by the Spirit in his resurrection. You see, God is a personal creator, and we see this in the living person of the living Word, Jesus Christ himself. He stepped into this world, and he takes great interest in his creation, and especially in his new creation, in you and in me today. And that is why the preacher again urges you from Ecclesiastes to remember now thy creator. He's not just the creator, he's thy creator. Job, remember this. In Job 33, verse 4, when he said, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." We often think, well, in the beginning God created man. In the beginning God created Adam and Eve. But the truth is, if you are here today, God created you. He gave you the body that you have. Now, we often let it run down a little bit, but he did give you your body. He gave you your spirit. He gave you your soul. God personally created you. And he made you just the way he wanted to make you. But this is also true that God stepped into his creation to redeem you from your sin. The things that we have done to mess up this creation, and then to recreate you. So to remember thy creator in Ecclesiastes means to remember that he is a personal creator. And that he has done everything necessary so that you can have a relationship with him and be recreated from the inside out. So now all you must do is turn from your sin and turn to Jesus and trust in him as the eternal Word of God who came to make you into that new creation that you needed to be. This is who you need to remember today. Do you? Do you remember your Creator? This is what the preacher says. So remember the presence and the power and the perfections and the purpose and even the personality of your Creator by turning to and trusting in him. But then, the preacher also tells you when you are to remember. Because there's a lot of times we'll say, well, I'm just going to put this off. I know I need to know about God more. I know I need to live for God more. But you know what? I've got time. So when are you to remember your Creator according to this verse? Remember now. Later in the verse, he says, in the days of thy youth. Now, I do think that the preacher here is especially addressing young people. But can it really apply to us all? Even though you may not feel like you are still in the days of your youth anymore. In fact, I woke up this morning with a couple of pains that I've had the last couple of weeks. And I told my wife. I said, yeah, you know that pain in my legs come back. And it spread. It spread to my foot. And if I just dangle my foot, it aches. And I said, I'm just telling you all my old person complaints, I guess, right? But sometimes I tell her, you know, the older I get to a certain age, the younger that age feels. But the truth is, in light of eternity, aren't we all really still in the days of our youth? You may be 90 years old or 100 years old. What's the oldest person in all this world? Maybe 120, who knows? They know Christ. They have eternal life to look forward to, and they are still in the days of their youth. So what should they do? If God has given you air to breathe and a mind to think, remember now thy Creator. Don't put it off. Remember now. Those days of youth do not end. But I do think there's also a bit of warning in these words as well. Because what naturally happens with age? Remember now thy Creator because, first of all, of your coming weakness. We are going to get weaker, aren't we? It wasn't meant to be this way, but your body and your mind slowly but surely is deteriorating. And you need to remember now because gradually you will lose those things that at one time you took for granted. You're going to lose your hearing. Some of you already have. You're going to lose your sight. Some of you already have. Some of you are going to lose your taste. But even your memory. Some of you have already lost some of that memory. But the more you fill up your memory with thoughts of your Creator now, the more you can remember when the days of thy youth finally reach their end, whenever that may be. Keep remembering your Creator. If you don't keep your mind stayed on the Lord now, as John Gill once wrote, you may end up toward the end of your life having no real pleasure in reflecting on a life spent in the ways, the work, and the worship of God. What's the best things in life to remember? Those things. The ways and the work and the worship of God. But when you do remember your Creator now, you will be able to remember Him then all the more. You know, are you storing up memories about your Savior today? Because when you get older, you're going to need those memories. And if you lose those memories, you need to store up more, don't you? Because then you'll have plenty to spare, plenty left over. In fact, one way I think that you and I can encourage older Christians is not asking them about what they did for a living, or asking even about their families, I think we ought to. Ask them about the memories of their Lord. Ask them what they learned. Ask them about what they've learned from His Word. Ask them about what God has done in their life. Ask them about their worship and what it was like. Ask them about those memories. Because those are the memories that will last. So remember now thy Creator because of your coming weakness, but also because of your coming worries. Not that you should worry about things. Philippians 4:6 says you're not to be careful for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're not supposed to worry, but we all know that we do worry, don't we? We worry, but it's in those times as well that you need to remember now thy Creator. The more precious memories of your Creator that you have stored up, the more you will be able to recall the Lord's mercies and grace and promises to help you in your times of need. Remember Jeremiah? We just spent some time looking in Jeremiah, going through that book and then Lamentations, but he was known as the weeping prophet. If anybody had something to worry about, Jeremiah did. But remember those precious words from Lamentations 3:21? He said, "This I recall to my mind." He remembered something about his Creator. He remembered something about his God. "This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So remember now thy Creator. Remember. And when you remember Him, don't just keep it in your mind. Let it change your life. When you remember your Creator, respond to Him as well. Respond. When you remember the presence of your Creator, honor Him as the King and controller of all things, including you. When you remember the power of your Creator, fear Him with a godly fear, because the one who has the power to create also has the power to destroy. When you remember the perfections of your Creator, love Him. Love Him because of His great glory and because of His great grace. When you remember the purpose of your Creator, submit to Him. Let His purpose be your purpose. Let His will be your will throughout all of your life. And when you remember the personality of your Creator, personality in Jesus Christ Himself, believe in Him. Believe in Him and trust Him, because the Word of God that created all things in the beginning became flesh, so that you and I could be redeemed and be recreated as a child of God. So remember what the preacher says to you today. Remember now thy Creator. Because if you don't now, who knows what memories you will have? Who knows what memories you will store up for the times that you do need Him? So remember now thy Creator. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You that You are a Creator and the Creator of all things, including in our own lives. And yet, Lord, I fear that we hear this truth, and we remember this truth, heard it in Sunday school, I've read it in the Bible, but I don't respond to this truth. I do not live as the creature that I am. I set up my own gods. I pursue my own goals. I live for my own pleasure and glory instead of yours. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who, Lord, is not responding to this profound truth that you are their creator, oh, Father, I pray that you will cause us to repent and to confess that sin before you. And then, Lord, to trust in you as the creator who is in control of everything, but also genuinely cares for everything that you've created. You care for us. And so, Father, I pray that as we respond by faith in the Word who came into this world, became flesh in order to live the life that we could never live, and then die the death that we deserve to die, and then came back to life through His own resurrection, when we put our trust in Him, O Lord, I pray that we will still remember Him as our Creator. And that, Lord, we will respond to Him as our Creator. And that, Lord, we will live our lives according to Your purpose and for Your glory and for Your pleasure, because, Lord, that is why You created us in the first place. And so, Father, I pray that we will leave this place and remember this. Remember now Thy Creator, the days of Thy youth. And so, Lord, keep that memory fresh in our minds today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.